It's good to be with you again today. Easter Sunday, my favourite day of the year. The day of days. The greatest day in history. This morning I want to return to that passage from John chapter 20, where it tells us of Mary Magdalene's experience on the first Easter day. She came to the tomb early. She decided just to stay outside. She'd been told, "It's not here. Come and see the place where he lay." And then she encounters the risen Lord Jesus in the garden. And she so much wants to stay and just hold on to that moment. But the Lord Jesus Christ tells her, "No, Mary, go and tell the other disciples of your wonderful experience." And this is also the key verse in the April edition of Grapevine. But what I want us to look at this morning, what we see time and time again in the Gospels, what we know to be true through our own personal experience, is a simple but profound pattern. Come and see, go and tell. I firmly believe that these six short words actually encompasses the whole of the Christian life and experience. You know, they start right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, when John the Baptist pointed out that Jesus was the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Two of the disciples decided to find out more about Jesus. So they asked him where he was staying. And Jesus simply said, "Come and see." And they followed Jesus. Then later, when Philip told Nathanael about Jesus, he questions, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip just said, "Come and see." And what was the result of that "come and see"? We find the disciples who obeyed and found out more about the Lord Jesus were so excited that they wanted their friends to have the same wonderful experience. So they go and tell. And this happens time and time again. I really love that story in Mark chapter 5, where Jesus went across Galilee and he landed in the region of Gerasenes and he met the demon-possessed man and wonderfully healed him. And as they were leaving, the man begged to be allowed to go with Jesus, but Jesus wouldn't let him. I would have thought that man would have benefited from some intensive follow-up with the Lord. However, Jesus got him involved in evangelism straight away. He said, "No, go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you." And that's exactly what he said, so much so that the next time Jesus went to that area, to the Gerasene, to the Decapolis, 4,000 people came to listen to him. The man's testimony seems to have made a big impact. Come and see, go and tell. And this pattern seems to continue throughout Jesus' life. And I just love what happened at the resurrection. I love Tim Hughes' song about Easter that we just sung. "The greatest day in history, death is beaten, you have rescued me, sing it out, Jesus is alive, the empty cross, the empty grave, life eternal, you have won the day, shout it out, Jesus is alive, oh happy day, you washed my sins away." Happy day. And it really captures something of the wonder of Easter. And you just think about one or two of the couple of songs that get this Ephelump almost dancing. That's one of them. Good Friday was the darkest day in history of humankind, where we sought to put out the light of God. And then Easter Sunday was the brightest day in the history of humankind. It was the day of days which demonstrated that God was at the helm of human history. It was the day of days which showed once and for all that Jesus is alive, Lord of life and Lord of death. It was the day of days that reverses the curse of sin and death and hell. It was the day of days which showed that Jesus' death was a substitute for us and for our sin was sufficient and acceptable. And it was the day of days that brought death to death and opened up eternal life for all who believe in Jesus. Oh, what a glorious day. The empty tomb can be summed up as meaning four things. Firstly, that Jesus is the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Secondly, that Jesus is the clear winner. Thirdly, our sins can be forgiven. And fourthly, death is defeated. The empty cross, the empty grave, life eternal, you have won the day, shout it out. Jesus is alive. What a day that was. I love those songs of Easter. Tim Hughes, Graham Kendrick, Stuart Townend and others have all written wonderful songs about the resurrection. Great words, and I love to sing them. But a bit cheeky maybe, but I'd like to add a verse to all of these songs that they miss out. They all rightly tell us to come and see, to explore the treasure that's found in Jesus' empty tomb. And they quite rightly call us to sing and shout and celebrate the good news. But the Easter story doesn't end there at the tomb. But the closing verses should be more in keeping with the words of James Seddon. He says, "Go and tell, O Church of God, awake. God's saving news to all the nations take. Proclaim Christ Jesus, Saviour, Lord and King, that all the world His worthy praise might sing." And as you know, in all four Gospels, the accounts of the resurrection, we've seen the same response, the same words. The wonderful account of the resurrection doesn't end with us shouting, "Christ has risen, Jesus is alive." But if we're followers of the Lord Jesus, we must then add our part. In Matthew's Gospel, the angel invited the two Marys, "Come and see the empty tomb." And then the angel tells them, "Go and tell the disciples." In Mark's Gospel, the angel tells the woman, "See," and then says, "Go and tell." In Luke's Gospel, it says descriptively, "They saw," and then "They told." And in John's Gospel, Mary looked and saw, and then Jesus says to her, "Now go and tell." But various pressures come on us to make us reluctant to share this good news, to share with others what we have seen and known. What are these pressures? Firstly, of course, we can be tempted, like Mary, to keep this treasure for ourselves, to enjoy it for ourselves. Sometimes we have an experience that's so profound and personal and so life-changing at the core of our being that we desperately want to hold on to it and hold on to Jesus for ourselves. Let others have their things that they want. But I've got Jesus. He's my Saviour. He's my Lord. He's my Jesus. Well, all that's true. But I've still got to give him away. We cannot hog the good news. We cannot stockpile Jesus for ourselves. You know, I love that wonderful resurrection hymn written by Stuart Townend. Remember that second verse? See Mary weeping, where is he laid? As in sorrow she turned from the empty tomb. Here's the voice speaking, calling her name. It's the Master, the Lord, raised to life again. The voice that spans the years, speaking life, stirring hope, bringing peace to us, will sound till he appears, for he lives. Christ is risen from the dead. And in that Garden of Gethsemane, Garden of the Tomb, Jesus tenderly did four things for Mary. Firstly, he takes her from feeling to thinking. Her eyes were full of tears. She wasn't able to focus clearly on what she was seeing. But Jesus gave her time to think by asking Mary two questions. He said, why? And then he asked, who? And she started thinking. And perhaps Mary's tears stopped as she spoke. Secondly, he took her from ignorance to knowledge. In a very tender way, he said, Mary. And she at once recognized him and responded, Rabboni, the Aramaic word for rabbi. And her joy came flooding back. Thirdly, Jesus had to change her from sense to faith. She now made a mistake. She fell at Jesus' feet and she grasped him by the ankles. Mary held on to Jesus. She just wanted to keep that moment forever and ever. She wanted to keep Jesus forever, to keep that time just for her, never again to be parted from her Lord and the one she loved. But Jesus tenderly showed her that wasn't the way. And fourthly, he wanted to move her from self to others. Jesus said, don't hold on, Mary. You go and tell. We just can't keep this treasure to ourselves. Our faith and the wonder of the resurrection is not just for us to sing and shout about, not just for our benefit, for our enjoyment, for our consumption. No, we've got to go public with this private faith. We hold on to Jesus. And then we hold out for Jesus. But secondly, there's another pressure stops us sharing our faith. And this is fear. Fear of what we'll look like. Fear that we'll be ridiculed. Fear that we'll be rejected. Fear that we'll be expected to answer questions that we don't know the answers to. Perhaps worst of all, fear we might be perceived as hypocrites. And all those fears can silence us and hold us back from holding out for the gospel. Albert Camus, the famous French atheist, the existentialist, the philosopher, fought with the resistance at holding back the Nazis. And in 1948, he gave an amazing lecture at a French Dominican monastery. And Albert Camus said this, what the world wants from you is that you should speak out. Often the church retreats into pessimism and abstraction. Fear has always been a great obstacle for the Christian revolt. Fear. And we need to ask our God to overcome our fear so that we might share our faith with others. You don't have to be a Billy Graham, or Louis Palau, or even Mandy James, or Andy Morgan. People able to convey the faith winsomely, articulately, brilliantly. Just be like the TV catchphrase. Just say what you see. You say what you see. As someone once said, evangelism is just one beggar telling another beggar where they can find bread. And then thirdly, another pressure that stops us sharing our faith is the kind of spiritual force that would shut us down. The principles and powers that killed Jesus always want to silence the truth. They also always want to keep Jesus dead and buried in that tomb. They don't want the Lord and the light to go out into the world. You know, at the site of the coronavirus outbreak in China, that brave doctor, Li Wenliang, saw what was going on, and he was the first to sound the alarm, to tell the truth of what was going on, to save lives. And the dark powers in China sought to silence him, keeping the truth for themselves. And keeping the truth for themselves cost lives. And then they put Li Wenliang into one of the most intensive COVID wards. And he himself died when he was just 34 years of age. But he was a brave man. Keeping the gospel to ourselves again costs lives. Dark powers want to silence us, to mute us, but we've got to share what we see. In Acts chapter 4, verse 20, Peter and John were flogged. They were forbidden to share the good news about Jesus. But they said this, we can't stop speaking of what we see. Just ask the Lord to help you say what you see. And you know, you'll find people are ready to listen. You know, in the New Statesman magazine for April 2020, it was April, not March, it was reported that double the number of inquirers had signed up for online alpha from HDB. It was claimed that 25% of UK citizens had watched an online service that Easter. 10 times the number that would normally go to church. The most popular Bible translation app was downloaded 2 million times in that March alone. And physical Bible sales were up by 55% that Easter. People are hungry. They're desperately seeking. They're asking questions. They want some answers. They want the truth. And we know the truth is found in the empty tomb. It's found in the Lord Jesus. Go and tell. Invite people to come and see. Don't hold on for yourselves. Our faith, the wonder of the resurrection, isn't to keep for ourselves, to talk about in church, to sing about for our enjoyment and consumption. We've got to go out to tell. Let me finish. I love Marcel Pagnon's French novel, La Gloire de mon Père, The Glory of My Dad. And in it, there's young Marcel, and he's with his uncle and his father. They're resting for lunch after they've been out hunting in the morning. And the local poacher boy, Riai, arrives. And the uncle remarks, in a hot, arid area such as where they are on holiday, water is the problem. And then he says, ah, but I know the secret of the springs of water. And the father asked him, but where are these springs? And Lilai, the boy, replies, it's forbidden to tell. You keep the spring secret. I'd like to tell you, but I can't. Even in my own family, my grandfather never told of the spring that he knew. But just every day he goes out and collects a bottle of cool, clear water for his lunch and drinks it himself. Before dying, he tried to share the secret. He summoned Lilai's father and he said, La sauce, la sauce. He didn't say anything else. Then he died. It waited too long. The spring was lost forever. And Uncle Jules cried out, "What a stupid waste." You know, we're called to come and see. We're called to celebrate and sing. But then we're told to go and tell these wonderful things, that Jesus is alive, that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus saves all who trust in him. And Jesus opens his arms wide and invites us all to come. Once you experience the life-changing power of Jesus, you just can't keep quiet. You're either holding on to it with all your might, or you haven't really seen what he's done. The Christian message is a message that tells us to come and see. See what God's doing. See what God wants to do in your life. And then go and tell. That's what we were made to do. Jesus said, come and see. If this morning you feel as though you might have been walking away from the Lord, he will take you back. Come and see. If you feel that you're unworthy, he'll give you a new beginning. Come and see. But then don't try to hold on to it. Go and tell. When we leave this place this morning, it's not just a warm feeling in our hearts that we carry away this Easter Sunday. We carry with us a personal experience of the risen Lord Jesus. And with it comes the great opportunity and privilege to the world around us. Come and see. Go and tell. That song by Stuart Townend that I quoted earlier, the last verse says, one with the Father, Ancient of Days, through the Spirit who clothes faith with certainty. You know, what a fantastic definition of the Holy Spirit's work that is. He clothes our faith with certainty. Honor and blessing, glory and praise to the King, crowned with power and authority, and we're raised with him. Death is dead. Love has won. Christ has conquered. Three glorious statements. Death is dead. Love has won. Christ has conquered. And we shall reign with him, for he lives. Christ is risen from the dead. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you this morning that you love us. Thank you also that you died for us. Thank you, Lord, that you rose again. Thank you that you open your arms wide and invite us to come. And Lord, today we want to come again to you. Maybe for the first time we come. Maybe we've come long ago. But we ask you to forgive us our sins. We ask you to transform our lives. We ask you to be Lord of our lives. And we give ourselves to you afresh. And we pray that you will give us the boldness to share you with others. Amen.